Welcome to Dome Patrol Premier League. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Dome Patrol United's Premier League podcast. Let's get the intros out of the way. I'm James and this week I'm joined by Ben. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Busy week at work, but we're on the downward slope to the weekend, so it's all
well,
good.
Depends. Some of us work in the weekend, so not all weekend. I've managed to actually get Sunday off so I can actually go up to Arsenal. So it's not too bad. But
so you're working Saturday, then, essentially?
And Friday. Friday counts the weekend for me.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
But at my age.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're so old. apart from work, everything's all right, though, yeah?
All good, yeah. It's been an interesting week with some news in the Premier League. I'm sure we're going to talk about it. But yeah, it's been interesting and it's kind of spiced the season back up a little bit more.
Yeah, it certainly has. So what we're going to do tonight is talk about the games from the weekend, one or two controversial incidents, particularly in the Monday night football. But obviously you've already alluded to the biggest news that broke literally within probably about half an hour of us finishing recording last week, I think it was.
Was it that quick, was it? So it's not standard. It always happens, doesn't it? But yeah. We always did it when we did the UK Saints podcast. It always happened. Always injury news or trade deals or anything. It literally happened as we finished recording. We were packing up and it happened all the time. And for once, we're doing it in our time zone with our sport and it breaks. It breaks just as soon as we finished recording. Mm.
But, you know, if we were still doing the UK Saints podcast, you can guarantee that the Drew Brees news from yesterday would have happened after we'd finished recording, guaranteed. That's the kind of luck we had. Yeah. But obviously, the big news was UEFA punishing Man City for what's the right word for it? Well, cheating, I guess.
Financial doping.
By giving them a 2-year Champions League ban and a fine of £24 million. And for our American listeners, that's probably about $30 million, $29-30 million, something like that. So, as we've seen previously, the UEFA bans can be a little bit flaky. So, Ben, question for you. Well, three questions, really. Was the punishment strict enough? Do you think they will actually end up being banned? And if they are banned, what does it mean for the players and the manager? Put you on the spot there.
So do I think the ban was strict enough? Yes. Has it come late? Yes. You know, I hate to say it, but Arsene Wenger was saying this back when it was happening, saying they're breaking clear financial fair play rules, and no one wanted to listen at all. They finally got down to the bottom of it, only because weren't Man City hacked? And this is how all of this leaked out, anyway.
Yes.
So they I think UEFA really wouldn't have acted unless these documents got leaked, and they got leaked. So UEFA kind of got told, well, you know, we have to actually do something now because they're leaked, even though they knew it was going on all the time.
You raise an interesting point there, though, about how UEFA got the evidence. This is where I fear that City will be able to kind of get away with it a little bit. Is
potentially the loophole, potentially
the documents were obtained illegally. Weren't they? They were obtained illegally. So yeah. I wonder whether the City's argument is going to be that they can't be used. Now, obviously, that's in the court of law. Obviously, UEFA, slightly maybe different rules might be, but I just got a feeling that, you know, the ban may not end up being upheld. That's my opinion. They'll play on appeal next season, and then UEFA will just be like, "Well, I'll take £20 million, and then we'll call it quits."
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, doping, financial doping is financial doping. You don't, no matter how rich you are or how poor you are, you break the law, you deserve to get punished. In my opinion, I don't care if, and hopefully, it will send a message out to these teams, but will it affect Manchester City in the long run financially? Not at all. No. Not one bit, because they're owned by a wealthy oil state. So it won't affect them at all. If this happened to a club like Liverpool or Tottenham or Arsenal or someone like that, then yeah, it would really financially hurt them, wasn't it? £150 million revenue they get from Champions League football these days? A year?
So, yeah, something around that. When you take into account sponsorship,
even Manchester United would struggle with the revenue losses from it all.
Yeah, well, we might not be in the Champions League again next season. So,
well, exactly. So it's quite big, but I don't think it will affect City like it will affect other clubs because of the way how they get their money. But obviously, that's all going to have to change now potentially if UEFA stick by their guns, but we all know UEFA won't.
Do you think they will? Do you think UEFA will actually see it through and make sure they're banned for two seasons from the Champions League?
I can see them doing an appeal and they'll be in it next year and then they'll get it reduced to 1 year.
I think they're going to have to make sure that any appeal is heard really quickly, because you imagine what's going to happen. So, say Sheffield United finish fifth in the Premier League this year.
Yeah.
And at the time, they think they've qualified for the Champions League because Man City aren't in it. And then Sheffield United go out and spend a load of money based on the back of Champions League money. But then City appeal and get put back into the Champions League. And then Sheffield United haven't got the...
Then they'll get done for financial fair play because they spent over their means.
Exactly. So that's why I think that UEFA have really got to hear the, or whoever, it's the Court of Arbitration for Sport, isn't it? They've got to hear the appeal really quickly, and it's got to be done by the end of the season. So the other teams that are affected can plan their summer spending.
Yeah, I agree. I really hope they do uphold it, but part of me does feel for, I hate to say it, but I do feel for City a little bit, because it's not just them doing it and they're the ones being hung out to dry. You know, you've got to seriously look into PSG and people like that really now, but it won't get done.
No, you're right. I mean, like, I think we both agree that they're probably going to be playing in the Champions League regardless next season, aren't they? Either it'll have been thrown out or they'll be playing on appeal.
Yeah, it's something like that will happen. As a City player, if you are banned, would you look for a new club? You're playing in the best league in the world as it is.
Getting paid very well.
You're getting paid very wealthy. Depending on your age bracket, maybe you might go and look elsewhere. Not going to lie, if you play for Manchester City, you could probably get into most teams around Europe very easily.
What do you reckon about Guardiola then? Do you think all this story about him staying?
I think it all depends on money.
So I'll tell you what, I was at the gym before we were recording this, and I was talking to my trainer, who's a Liverpool fan, and we're just like, City are going to throw all their eggs into the Champions League basket for this season now. They can't win the league. They're not going to win the league. They're potentially not even in the Champions League.
I think that was going to happen anyway.
They are now literally going to put all their eggs in trying to win the Champions League this year. And I think if they win the Champions League, Pep may leave anyway.
Yeah, because it kind of would have been mission completed if he wins the Champions League.
They're not going to win the Champions League.
I still think Pep wants to go back to Barcelona at some stage. And I think he wants a crack at Italy as well.
Yeah, I think Juventus
just say he can
likely.
say he has won all the major European leagues you know he'll never go back and be a head coach of the Spanish national team.
So what you're saying is he wants to do what Mourinho did, apart though Mourinho hasn't done it in Germany, though. That's the only difference, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
But he's only won the Champions League. He's only won the Champions League with Barcelona. So I think he really is desperate to win the Champions League.
Yeah, and that Barcelona team was basically handed to him on a silver plate with three of the best players in the world in it. Not that I'm bitter that they beat United in the Champions League finals, but you know,
it was Messi, David Villa, Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets.
Yeah,
that's
it was an unbelievable team. But he was basically handed that team. He didn't build that team. Anyway, we've gone away from the Premier League here. So yeah, I think we're both in agreement there that I think City are going to probably be playing in the Champions League next year. And
it's a fair ban. The ban won't get upheld because UEFA are bent as anything as well.
Yeah.
They'll just pay an extra large amount of fine, and that'll do will fill UEFA's pockets, and it will have no action for it. Nothing will come good of it because people imagine, for long way out, we're back in this run for fifth place now.
Well,
and that would be massive.
Are you at 10th? I'm not sure you are.
We're 6 points behind it.
True. Yeah, you've got a
long way to go.
I mean, we'll come on to it towards the end of the show, but you've got a really big game this weekend.
Really big game, yeah.
Yeah, you need to win it. So, right, on to the weekend's games. There was a much bigger slate of games this weekend. Was it six games, I think? The winter break is now over. So we'll go through the results from the weekend. So the first one was Wolves 0, Leicester 0 on Friday. I didn't watch any of it. It didn't sound like the greatest game. There was a bit of VAR controversy in it, wasn't there, I think?
Yeah. And weather doesn't really help at all. No, last two weekends, weather-wise, has just been shocking.
Horrible. Yeah, it's been horrible here. So, I mean, it's just another result that moved Liverpool further clear, isn't it, really?
And
failing to win.
Wolves and Leicester are two really good teams. I really like what both managers have done there, and what they kind of do in the style of their playing. I never thought I'd say, but I enjoy watching a Brendan Rodgers team.
Brendan Rodgers has got future Arsenal manager written all over him.
I think. Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he was the number one choice after Emery got sacked.
He is likely to be so. Here's one in advance for you. He could be the next England manager.
Could be.
He could definitely be the next Chelsea manager.
Could be, yeah.
Because he's got a link to Chelsea, and I definitely think he's got Arsenal manager written all over him as well.
Yeah.
In fact, do you know what? I'd have probably been wanting him to replace Emery rather than Arteta, personally, but
he was a lot of fans' first choice.
Yeah. So
he was my first choice, to be fair, along with Arteta. They're both.
Yeah. Next game, Southampton 1, Burnley 2. Bit of a shock there. Didn't expect Burnley to go to Southampton and win.
Burnley, as much as I hate them, they are on a really good run of form at the moment, where they beat Leicester, they beat Man United, they drew against us, and they've climbed themselves all the way up to about 11th in the Premier League now after a really good run of three or four results. They looked like they were going to be in trouble at one stage, but they pulled it together. And Southampton, one of these weird teams that will have a good result one week and then a bad result the other week. Yeah. I like the manager. I think Ralph Hasenhüttl is a good manager.
That's a butchering of his name, but we'll go with it.
Hasenhüttl. I think Hasenhüttl, he is a good manager. Mm. They haven't got. You remember Southampton a couple of years ago when they had Pochettino and Koeman as the managers there, when they had players like Lallana, Shaw, a few more others that I can't really remember.
Schneiderlin, Van Dijk.
They really
Mane.
Yeah, Mane. They cashed in and sold those players.
Yeah.
For a lot of money, and it's been poorly, really poorly invested. And you've seen that in the last couple of years where they just slip down towards and fighting relegation year in, year out. They're not clear of the woods, but I don't think they will go down.
No, I mean, look, but Burnley are not the prettiest team to watch in the Premier League, but Sean Dyche just makes them hard to beat.
He's the modern day Sam Allardyce.
He is, yeah, no, he is, he is. And for anybody who doesn't know who Sam Allardyce is, just Google Sam Allardyce pint of wine, and you'll see what type of person he was. Best thing that happened to England, the England football team, that was.
It was.
So, next game. Oh, go on. Yeah.
Sorry, just got Southampton. I think the reason they stay up is because they've got a player who is scoring a lot of goals for him. And Danny Ings.
Yeah, I think he's going to be in the England squad. You know,
he has to be. With looking at the Euros, with injuries to Rashford, Kane.
There was a story that came out today that Rashford is actually his injury is a lot worse than first feared, and Solskjaer said today in a press conference that he may not play again this season, and if he doesn't play again this season, he won't be going to the Euros.
Danny Ings for England.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Next modern game,
day James Beattie.
better Norwich 0, Liverpool 1. Liverpool didn't look great. I don't think the winter break has done them any favours in terms of how they were playing football, but they're just getting the job done. They're not conceding goals, they're pinching goals. They're going to win the league. They're going to win the league in probably 6 weeks' time. Let's move on. There's nothing else to say there, really, is there?
No. Norwich are a bit strange, though, because they're at the bottom of the league at the moment, but you know, they beat City at Carrow Road. They held Liverpool for like 75 minutes.
Yeah.
They drew against us. They seem to be difficult to beat in the big time games. They just can't get themselves up for the smaller games.
Really inconsistent. What was probably the best game of the weekend, although you won't be a fan of the result, was Villa 2, Spurs 3. It was a cracking game to watch, actually. Really entertaining.
I was watching it in the pub around the corner from the Emirates.
I mean, obviously Spurs won 3-2 with a goal in the last minute from Son, but then during the game, obviously Son, has he broken his arm and is out for the rest of the season?
Out for the rest of the season with a broken arm.
Which is bad news for Spurs because they literally have no strikers. Stop laughing, Ben. They literally have no strikers. Harry Kane's probably not going to play until April at the end.
He's actually expected back for the North London derby.
Is he? Right, okay. We know he's going to bang a hat-trick, you know, don't you? You know that.
Yeah, of course. I know. It always happens against us.
But yeah, that was the most entertaining game of the weekend by far.
It will be interesting because, well, they're going to have to play Lucas Moura down the middle now.
Yeah.
Well, so it'll be Luke,
young lad. Lucas. Is it Parrott?
Birdwine. Yeah, they've got Troy Parrott.
Troy Parrott.
Birdwine as well. That looks now like it's a good signing for them. Because
they are going to struggle for goals.
Yes, they will struggle. But you know that's Mourinho's game is making his teams hard to beat and compact at the back.
Well, he's going to have to be because that's the only way they're going to win games at the moment, I think. So, Ben, the game you were at the weekend, Arsenal beating Newcastle 4-0. Newcastle never really play well in London. But just give us a brief summary of the game.
It was very wet, very cold. first half, there was obviously a bit of rust after the break. We didn't look great. Our passing was a bit sloppy. Newcastle had chances and forced us into some errors. I think at half-time, Arteta got the players together and we came out second half, we were just a completely different team. It was one of the best games I've seen Ozil play for a long time for Arsenal. It was good. It was bold because he dropped Lacazette and started a youth player and Eddie Nketiah up top. Was really bold. But Arteta said in his opening press conference as Arsenal manager, you're not getting in the team just because you're a name. You've got to work hard and prove yourself in training. I think this was Nicola Pepe's best game for Arsenal since he's joined. It was fantastic.
His work rate was slowly getting better, isn't he? Everybody was criticising him earlier on in the season, £70 million, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's now
23.
Exactly.
You know, so, he's still young. He's got 5 Premier League goals and 6 Premier League assists this year. Like I say, if he can get to seven or eight, you know, it would be a good first season for a young lad coming from to a complete new league. It's a big step up from the Premier League to the French League.
I mean, look, you want more for 70 million, don't you? But it's not as bad.
I think you'll see the 70 million in 2 years' time potentially.
Yeah.
But no, it was good to see us finally get the win. I like what Arteta's done. He's made us more solid at the back. And everyone's just criticising, saying we're not creating enough, not scoring enough. But no, that's what he needed to fix. He fixed that now. Well, a little bit better. I wouldn't say it's fixed because the personnel's not there yet. But now we can try and add a little bit extra. It was a bit brave at home against a lower sort of opposition, not playing a holding midfielder and playing Danny Ceballos next to Granit Xhaka, and he had a really good game as well. But I was very, very positive. It felt nice to walk away from the stadium with a smile on my face for once.
Yeah, no, good, good. And then the final game of the weekend, so was Chelsea, Man United. I think I said to you that I thought United would win last week.
You did?
I felt really confident, and they did win 2-0. But the game wasn't without incident. About 20 minutes into the game, Harry Maguire, should he have been sent off, Ben? Yes or no?
It all comes down to consistency again. It just reminds me of England years ago, doesn't it? The old kick out, Beckham.
Yeah.
And Vieira as well, getting sent off against Man United. You can't do it. For me, it's a red card.
I watched it live, obviously, and I thought, oh God, he's in trouble here. He did a great job of trying to explain it away by saying he put his foot there to stop Batshuayi falling on him. Well, yeah, you did put your foot there, but you also didn't need to kick him in the nuts either.
Exactly.
So he was very, very lucky there not to be sent off. Two really good goals from United. Two really good headers. The first header from Martial was really good, and it's not something that he's known for. And then obviously Maguire got the second. But then you had two Chelsea goals that were disallowed by VAR. The Giroud one, he was offside. There's no argument about that.
Yeah.
He was offside. But the first one, there was a few differing opinions on it. Corner came in, and then Fred, the United midfielder, did nudge Azpilicueta in towards Brandon Williams. But then Azpilicueta put both his hands out and pushed Williams in the back to the floor. To me, that's a foul. But everybody's saying because he was pushed, he was just trying to protect himself, so it shouldn't be a foul.
What did you think
about that one?
Yeah, he was pushed leading up to it. What's a foul? So a foul's led into another foul.
But it was interesting, though, even on commentary, Gary Neville said that he didn't think that what Fred did was a foul, but what Azpilicueta did was a foul. But then he said, if Fred hadn't have done what he did, would Azpilicueta have done what he did?
No.
I mean, I know it sounds like a silly thing, but it's almost an assist to the foul. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like I completely get it. It's like a pre-foul.
Assist.
Exactly. Yeah. You kind of caused it.
Now, look, I didn't care because it disallowed a goal for Chelsea.
Yeah, did the referee go and look at the monitor? I can't remember.
No, not at all.
This is the problem.
So this is going to be my next question, was what are your thoughts on VAR? You know, two-thirds of the way through the first season of us having VAR.
I think it's here to stay. Can they make massive improvements on it? Yes, it's not being used in the right ways at the moment.
Yeah.
I think as a fan in the stadium, you have no idea what's going on. I think they need to take lessons from rugby and you'll be able to hear the conversation between the ref and the virtual video assistant referee, whatever you fucking call them. I think you should be able to hear the dialogue between those two, especially on TV as well, so you know exactly what they're looking at, what they're saying, and it just kills the atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah.
You can't celebrate a goal because you have no idea what's going to be, if it's going to be looked at or not.
You're right. It is here to stay. There are things they can do to improve it. But the big thing for me, and you've touched on it there with your last point, is it takes away the spontaneity of celebrating a goal.
But you can say that with NFL with touchdowns.
Yeah, yes, you can. You can. But do you know what? I've been in a stadium where really big, important goals have been scored, right? You have as well. You must have been. Yeah. Feeling is unbelievable. You can't, it's really difficult to describe. But then now you get people, oh, can I celebrate? Can I not? Oh, I don't know whether to cheer or not. And then you're all looking at the referee, you're looking at the big screen. You've lost
you're looking at limbs, you're looking at the opposition players.
I mean, yeah. That's the bit I don't like.
The thing is, VAR isn't getting every decision right as well. There's some decisions that are just absolutely baffling.
It needs to be improved. There is no doubt about that. But yeah, they're not going to take it away.
I wouldn't scrap it.
No.
I keep it, but it should be improved.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed it will be improved. But
yeah. I think there's been something in the press today, hasn't there, that Arsene Wenger's suggesting some changes to the...
Yeah, I had a little look at it. It's more because the ruling... it's basically changing the
rules.
Any
part of the body, isn't it? East wants to change it to a part of the body that can score a goal legally. So if your hand is offside...
You're not going to matter.
But if any part of your foot or your, I think he said head as well. I don't know.
I think it should be if it's got to be clear and obvious. We all love the flow of the game. If you're making these decisions, I want to know within 15 seconds.
Yeah.
If it's not clear and obvious within 15 seconds, you go with the on-field decision.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Sweet. Yeah.
It speeds the game up, keeps the atmosphere in the stadium. But yeah. I feel now that football's more getting towards, they don't really care about us in the stadium anymore. It's all about the TV rights and the TV money and making it a spectacle for TV.
Yeah, it's been that way for a long time, mate. Right. So, to end, we're just going to rattle through this weekend's games. Very, very quick preview, and I want a score prediction from you.
Okay.
Chelsea v Spurs. Mourinho going back again to Chelsea with another different team.
Shocking record at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea. No strikers for Spurs. I'm going for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw? Yeah, I was going to go 0-0 draw, to be honest, on that one.
Okay.
Crystal Palace versus Newcastle.
Sellers Park's not been great. Newcastle were on a good run of form before they played us. The Emirates have got to come back down to the capital. I'm going to go for a sneaky 1-0 win to Newcastle.
Yeah, I was going to go the same now. I've just got a feeling Newcastle are going to pull that one out. Palace are not playing well at the moment. The Roy Hodgson effect is in, they've just become a dour, boring team. Don't score a lot of goals.
Can't score goals, exciting. Yeah.
No, quite possibly the least exciting game of the weekend is Burnley versus Bournemouth. I think Burnley win this easily.
I think it could be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 Burnley.
Okay. Burnley's good run of form's got to stop soon.
True. I just don't think it'll be against Bournemouth.
Okay. Bournemouth are in serious trouble, but I can see... everyone forgets it's Eddie Howe going against his former club.
True. Yeah, true.
So, Sheffield United
versus Brighton. So your local team, Ben.
I suppose they are my closest Premier League team. I suppose it's them or Palace. I would say Sheffield United are going to win 2-0.
Yeah, I was going to say 2-1. Southampton v Villa.
Sorry, go back to Brighton. Brighton's problem at the moment this season is that, once again, it's just goals. They're not. They had Philip Andoni on the books, Lacada on the books, signed Mappe, got this Connolly, but no, they've sent two of them out on loan. Glenn Murray's still forcing his way into the team at his age, and they desperately need to, if they are lucky enough to stay in the Premier League, what I think they will, they seriously need to go and find a striker.
Yeah, really quickly. But then that's a problem for quite a few teams at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is Southampton v Villa.
I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2? A high-scoring draw. Yeah. That's the type of game that Villa lose. I'm going to say 2-1 Southampton on that one. Leicester versus Man City. Could be a good game, this one.
Man City are playing tonight and they're currently 2-0 up against West Ham.
It was 1-0 last time I looked.
In an empty Etihad Stadium.
Well, there was new there.
Yeah. I think it's because it's a rescheduled game from the weather.
No, it's always empty. Always empty.
Even the away end's empty.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a 3-1 Man City win.
Where is it?
Leicester.
I'm going to go for a draw because City will be rest because they're playing midweek. So I think they've got 3 games in 7 days. So I think they're going to have to rotate.
Okay.
And they haven't really rotated much tonight. So I think you could see a bit of rotation focusing on
the Champions League next week. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So United versus Watford on Sunday. This is where United have struggled all season, playing against the lower team. They get the good results against the good teams. However, I think that changes this week. I think there's a bit of confidence coming back into United. I think United win that 3-0.
Yeah, I think you win that quite comfortably. I think the honeymoon period for Pearson's over. I think Watford still could potentially be going down this year. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 Man United.
Okay. So the game you're going to at the weekend. And like I said, quite an important game for Arsenal this week.
Really important.
Arsenal at home to Everton. And I think that's the Sunday 4 o'clock kickoff, isn't it?
Sunday 4:30, yeah. 4:30,
kickoff. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you my prediction first. I think that you will win 2-0.
That's the exact same prediction as mine.
Oh, yeah, I think you're going to win 2-0.
Okay. And as we're talking now, Tottenham are playing Leipzig in the Champions League with no strikers, and Leipzig have got a chance to go one up with a penalty. Yeah. Timo Werner takes it.
Stop sounding happy.
And scores. Yeah. And he scores.
Stop sounding happy. Right, come on. Arsenal-Everton, 2-0. Yeah, I think 2-0. 2-0 Arsenal there. Everton have had a really good run of form under Ancelotti, but I think that comes to an end this week.
Yeah, but Andrew, I think apart from Liverpool, Everton have got the most points since Ancelotti's taken over. But they've had a really nice run of fixtures.
Liverpool at home to West Ham, I see nothing else there other than a comfortable Liverpool win.
4-0 Liverpool. This City team have had so many chances watching this game, and they just haven't. Fabianski's had a blinder, but Liverpool going to rip him apart.
Yeah,
and also you remember Liverpool lost their first game of the season. Was it second game? They already lost in the Champions League.
Yeah, they lost to Napoli in the Champions League as well. They've lost. I think the stat is they've lost 5 of their last 7 Champions League away games.
Oh wow!
So I think that's it, Ben. Unless you've got anything else you want to go over.
Trying to think now.
I need to ask you a question, actually. It's not Premier League as such, but did you see Erling Haaland's goal for Dortmund last night in the Champions League?
I haven't. No, like, is it
watch it, but listen to it. The noise it makes when it hits the back of the net is unreal.
Okay. Well, you might have just found our outro. Last week it was Dennis Bergkamp, but it might be Haaland this week potentially.
Yeah, just have a listen to it. Let me know what you think. Right, so everyone.
Oh, quickly before we actually go, obviously, with the Down Patrol United, we don't cover boxing, but there's a massive boxing match I want to touch on this weekend.
Fury Wilder 2.
What are your predictions?
It's either going to be Fury on points.
Or Wilder knockout.
Wilder knockout late. It's going to follow the same. It's going to follow the same script. Fury will box his head off for 7 or 8 rounds, And then Wilder's going to have to get lucky with the punch. Otherwise, Fury wins the fight on points easily.
I think Fury wins the fight.
He's not knocking Wilder out. He's not knocking
I think he wins it on points. But yeah. I just think Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight boxer in the world.
I hope he does. I really hope he does win. And then what I really want is the big unification fight over here in September time. It won't be September. It'll be later than that. But him and Joshua have got to fight for the unified titles if Fury beats Wilder. No choice. Yeah. Has to be. And that'll be one of the biggest heavyweight fights of all time.
That'll be a Wembley job, won't it?
It'll have to be. Yeah, it'll have to be. But yeah, I think my prediction is Fury wins on points.
Yes, so we're rooting for Tyson Fury.
Go England.
Yeah, England versus America.
Yeah.
So we're rooting for Tyson Fury. I'm sure a lot of you are going for Deontay Wilder.
I'm not sure he's that popular in America, to be honest. I might be wrong, but I don't think he is that popular.
Okay.
So, he's an Alabama boy, he is an Alabama boy, so he's definitely not popular in Louisiana anyway. Right, I think that concludes episode 2 of the Don't Patrol United's Premier League podcast. Thank you to everybody for listening. Please like, subscribe. You find us on Twitter. We've got Don't Patrol UK and Don't Patrol US. However you get your podcasts, please like, leave a review, comments, any feedback, more than happy to receive it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. The world is spinning too fast. I'm fine that Nike shoes to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama said to slow down, you must make your own shoes. Stop dancing to the music, I've got gorillas in a happy mood. Keep my groove on. In the jungle, watching a fake betrayal, caught up in the conflict between his brain and his tail. And if time's elimination, then we got nothing to lose. Please repeat the message, it's the music that we choose. Keep on our groove on. Get the cool, get the cool to shine. Get the cool, the cool to shine. Get the cool, get the cool to shine. Get the cool, get the cool to shine. It's the music that we found. I can't breathe down, yeah, come back.